Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Remember yesterday, you may not have heard it, but yesterday, actually in the 640 segment, so it might be slightly different people because people are commuting at different times. I'd mentioned to you, we talked about this story out of Oklahoma where this girl writes a paper for her psychology class that was to respond to a paper that had to do with gender roles in middle school and bullying and, you know, show you read the paper, show that you understand the issue, talk about it using, you know, college quality writing. And she wrote all about the Bible and how these alternate conceptions of gender and sexuality are all lies and demonic. and she got a zero on the paper out of 25 points. And then Turning Point USA comes to her defense, and a lot of other people are like, do you see this outrageous bigotry against the Christians? And what did I say yesterday? I had not read the paper. I had not read the assignment. I said, look, if she did the assignment and it was bigotry, well, that's one thing. But if she didn't do the assignment, you know, a zero is a zero. Just because you write on behalf of what you think is Christianity doesn't make your paper good. There are, you know, poor quality student Christians and there are high quality student Christians. And I want to know more. But I said that, look, if, you know, if all she did was write a paper that was expressing, you know, sort of her opinion, and it didn't do the assignment, well, she gets to do a zero, right? And we talked about this quite a bit yesterday. And I wouldn't rush to judgment one way or the other until I've read the paper and read the prompt and assessed it for myself. And I said, I don't have a strong opinion one way or the other, other than you shouldn't have a strong opinion either unless you've read the paper. Well, I'm guessing I did yesterday. I read the paper and I read the prompt and I read the response by the teacher to her. How do you think that turned out, John? What do you think? Take a wild guess.
Let's see here. I think that she was wrong. And
yeah,
get the assignment.
Yeah. This paper deserved a zero. I might not have given a zero because I'm a somewhat generous person. I might have given her a 10 just to avoid the controversy out of 25. But yeah, this was terrible. This paper was terrible. Not terrible because it was, you know, anti-gender anarchy, anti-rainbow, or offensive. Terrible because it wasn't a college paper. It did not do the assignment. It didn't demonstrate competence of the material in the essay they were supposed to read and write about. It didn't do a clear job of laying out a responsive framework with any kind of reference to evidence. The one thing you can say about it is it gave her opinion, but her opinion was largely incoherent. I mean, it was really badly written. Somebody had texted me yesterday that they had read the paper, and they're like, that's at best a B minus for a seventh grader. It's not a college quality paper. And I agreed after having read it. And even when I read, you know, it's kind of interesting. I looked at the X thread or the Twitter thread that TPUSA posted about this, where they explained how unjust and oppressive it was for this professor to ding her for being a Christian. And he, apparently a transgender professor. And so you would think, like, all the elements are there to expect it to be just, you know, bad teaching and, you know, bias and all this kind of stuff. And look at these woke professors and punishing, which, by the way, it is true that in college in the United States of America, wokeism is prevalent. Punishing students who express conservative and or Christian views is common. As I said, I had been fired or not asked back many times because of my views, even though the students loved it. It's real. It just doesn't mean it's real in every case. And in this case, the professor is the one that's in the right. So she does this paper. It's genuinely not good. You know, you could quibble about whether it should have been given 5 or 10 points, but it definitely should not have been given full credit. Just didn't do the assignment. So, and here's what he wrote. Please note that I am not deducting points because you have certain beliefs, but instead I'm deducting points for you posting a reaction paper that does not answer the question for the assignment. Contradicts itself, which it did, heavily uses personal ideology over empirical evidence in a scientific class, psychology, and is at times offensive. The last part is irrelevant, but, you know, he threw it in. While you are entitled to your own personal beliefs, there is an appropriate time or place to implement them in your reflections. I encourage all students to question or challenge the course material with other empirical findings or testable hypotheses, but using your own personal beliefs to argue against the findings of not only this article, but the findings of countless articles across psychology, biology, sociology, etc., is not best practice. You argue that abiding by normative gender roles is beneficial. It is perfectly fine to believe this. See, there's a space to argue the position she wanted to argue if only she hadn't done it so badly. But to then say that everyone should act the same while also saying that people aren't pressured into gendered expectations is contradictory, you see? She's advocating for traditional gender roles but also claiming that people don't have to be pressured into them. Well, which is it? I mean, if they're normative and, you know, some people differ from that and it's better to have these norms, well, that's implying that pressure is at least common, if not, you know, best. And he's right that she's contradicting herself, especially since your arguments reflect a religious pressure to act in gender stereotypical ways. You can say that strict gender norms don't create gender stereotypes, but that isn't true by definition of what a stereotype is. Please note that acknowledging gender stereotypes does not immediately denote a negative connotation, a nuance this article discusses, as in didn't demonstrate knowledge of the article. Additionally, to call an entire group of people demonic is highly offensive, especially a minoritized population. He's bought into wokeism. That's fine. I mean, it's not fine, but it's, you know, he's using the language. You are entitled to your own beliefs, but this isn't a vague narrative of society pushes lies. She said lies many times. But instead, the result of countless years developing psychological and scientific evidence for these claims and directly interacting with the communities involved. You may personally agree with this, but that doesn't change the fact that every major psychological, medical, pediatric, and psychiatric association in the U.S. acknowledges that biologically and physically, psychologically, sex and gender is neither binary nor fixed. I implore you apply some more perspective and empathy in your work if you personally disagree with the findings, and by all means, share your criticisms, but make sure you do so in a way that is appropriate and using the methodology of empirical psychology as aligned with the learning goals in this class. If you have any additional questions or concerns about this or would love or would like some additional educational resources, I'd be happy to discuss this further and provide you with them. And then, remember, part of the story is that this person asked another teacher to weigh in, which is good, because if you're going to give somebody a zero, double-check somebody else. So the additional person... Samantha, I am the other instructor for this course, as in there's two instructors for this course at OU. And I have also taken the time to read your paper. I concur with Mel on the grade you received. The paper should not be considered as a completion of the assignment. Everyone has different ways in which they see the world, but in an academic course such as this, you are being asked to support your ideas with empirical evidence and higher level reasoning. I find it concerning that you state at the beginning of your paper that you do not think bullying, teasing, is a bad thing. In addition, your paper directly and harshly criticizes your peers and their opinions, which are just as valuable as yours. Disagreeing with others is fine, but there is a respectful way to go about it. This goes for discussion point posts as well as reaction papers. Please employ more thoughtfulness in your future assignments. And I read all the threads. Actually, I'll come back to this a second. John Pickens has traffic on the fives. John?
That's right. Brought to you by Barberry Plumbing. When it's time to call a plumber, call the best of the bay winner, Barberry Plumbing, at 477-8782. We are still rolling accident-free, even delay-free right now. I-10, I-110, all are good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the 5.
Thanks so much, John. So Turning Point USA comments. And to their credit, they posted all the raw material, you know, the rubric for grading the assignment, the actual answers in her essay, and also the comments by the professor. They say, it's time for conservatives to take a stand and show teachers that we will not be intimidated for sharing conservative or Christian beliefs on assignments any longer. The only right thing to do is fire this professor. Good job, Samantha Fulnicki. We stand with you. No. No, the only thing to do is to actually do assignments at a college level. Which she didn't. And moreover, the gist of the comments, you would see, it's very easy to write people off because they disagree with you. Well, they're just anti-Christian, or they're just, you know, woke, or they're just part of the establishment. The commenters were right. And generally, their comment was, not only is this paper bad, it's amazing that you posted it as evidence of how good it is. Like, Turning Point USA read the paper and the rubric and the responses, and they thought posting the paper would prove that the teacher was biased. All the posting it proves is that the teacher was right. I mean, like a zero is almost kind. So, it's one of these things where you've got to be smarter if you're going to critique the culture. And a lot of times, you know, my people, conservatives, Christians, both, are not smarter when we're critiquing the culture. We misfire on stuff because we don't bother to learn what the words mean. We don't bother to take the ideas seriously. And we don't bother to hold ourselves to intellectual, academic, linguistic rigor, or even just good rules of reasoning when we're talking about this stuff. What's the one thing you know about me, okay? If you listen to the show for any period of time, do I disagree with the prevalent culture? Do I disagree with the left? Do I disagree with woke things, whatever? I mean, you know I do. But what do you also know? I take them seriously. I understand them. I can explain them. I can even articulate. I could defend them if you put me on, you know, put me in a debating environment and you say, defend this, defend this. I can. Because until you can, you don't know what you're talking about. And just to give some kind of rambly, the Bible doesn't agree with this, and I believe there's just two genders is, you know, this is barely decent for just a discussion post response. You know, because in classes, a lot of times these days, they'll have like, you know, read this thing and give a discussion post response, and then you respond to your fellow classmates and what they say. The quality of this paper is barely adequate for a discussion post response, certainly not for what's meant to be a reasoned, evidence-based response paper. So anyway, just, you know, be careful where you jump in and say, aha, have you seen this outrageous story? Well, the outrage is that the Christian community, the conservative community, is not doing what it should do and saying, hey, girl, write better next time. And somebody should have the honesty to tell you that. Because your bias is you can't hear it from somebody because you think they're a leftist, a wokist, a transgender, or whatever. It doesn't make them wrong. It doesn't make you right. 621 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay.
Anderson Subaru sharing more than ever during the 2025 Subaru Share the Love event. Buy a new Subaru now through January 2nd, and Subaru will donate $250 to your choice of four nationally recognized charities, the ASPCA, Make-A-Wish, Meals on Wheels, or the National Park Foundation. Or choose our local charity, the Pensacola Breast Cancer Association, and Anderson Subaru will add an extra $200 to Subaru's donation with 0.9% financing for 72 on 2025 Outback models, 1.9% financing for 48 on 2025 Forester models, and 1.9% financing for 72 on new Crosstrek models. It's never been easier to share the love. So far, we've donated over $200,000 to fight breast cancer in Pensacola. At Anderson Subaru, now through January 2nd. Anderson Subaru, Highway 29, just north of Car City, Pensacola, online at AndersonSubaru.com.
Anderson's got a Subaru for you.
$250 donation for new purchase or lease. Promotion ends January 2nd. See retailer or AndersonSubaru.com/share for details.
Weather outside is frightful. Gulf Coast Air Care can make indoors delightful. If your heater stinks when it blows, let us know, let us know, let us know. Okay, you get the idea. This is Todd St. Orr from Gulf Coast Air Care. It's heater season, and we at Gulf Coast Air Care want you to think about the seasonal cleaning of your furnace. That awful burning smell is all that junk burning off and out into the house. Call Gulf Coast Air Care today. Our phone number is 934-2768. Hit it, Sarah.
That's my timer letting me know that it's time to check the slow smoke barbecue at Sonny's. It's also a reminder that it's time to book your holiday party or catering. We love to serve your business or organization a delicious prime rib to celebrate all your hard work with catering from our four locations serving the greater Pensacola area. We also have banquet rooms at our Navy Boulevard and 9th Avenue locations. And speaking of the holidays, give the gift of barbecue and a convenience of a gift card. Sweet and smoky ribs sure do make a mess of those Christmas stockings. Go to sonnysbarbecue.com to find your nearest location and all the details on our holiday catering services.
6,000 children depend on your compassion this holiday season. WEAR-TV's Communities Caring at Christmas brings dignity and joy to vulnerable families in our community. Give online at communitiescaringatchristmas.com or deliver new unwrapped toys to WEAR-TV, Sandy Sansing dealerships, or News Radio 92.3. Your donation supports foster children, children in poverty, and adults with developmental disabilities. Please support Communities Caring at Christmas.
Hi, I'm Steve Taylor, and I usually hang out in the newsroom at News Radio 92.3. I'd like to wish everybody a happy Hanukkah, Merry Christmas, and a Happy New Year.
Well, I just got back from swimming in the pool, and the water was cold.
You mean shrinkage?
Yes!
Appointee, and we're going to go back to Zoom, and we have Mr. Edward Fleming, who's a reappointment to the Board of Trustees for Pensacola State College. Mr. Fleming, are you there?
Yes, Your Honor. Can you hear me?
Yes, there you are. We do hear you.
Ed Fleming getting reappointed or recommended to be reappointed. It's only one step in the process. The Senate Higher Education Committee the other day. This is to PSC, not to UWF.
Thank you. And you are recognized.
Where he's also appointed.
Thank you. However, I would like to claim the Fifth Amendment as to where I graduated from law school, given the number of gators who have appeared here today.
He's from Georgia.
Actually,
you know, it was good. Ed talked about his, you know, qualifications and his involvement in PSC over the years, and it was good. And, you know, they, of course, voted yes. The other one, the one that didn't happen, Zach Smith.
I think we have heard from all the individuals that we have on our agenda. As I said earlier, Mr. Thomas Zachary Smith, who would be a new appointee to the University of West Florida, unfortunately could not make it today. We've postponed that to our next hearing.
Yeah, which I don't see a date yet assigned to that, but it's very interesting because the kind of the, you know, community response to Zach Smith, and, you know, I've talked about him many times, there's actually been letters now written against his appointment to UWF, understandably so. I would agree with that's a terrible appointment. You know, PSC, he kind of slipped through before anybody really knew what he was up to. But we'll talk about this in just a second. John Pickens has got traffic on the fives. John?
Brought to you by Frontier Motors, the only dealer Dave Ramsey recommends in Pensacola. That's Frontier Motors on Beverly Parkway. Still rolling accident-free right now. I-10, I-110 all look good. Highway 29, both northbound and southbound, right around 9 Mile Road at that intersection. Just seeing a minor delay. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the five.
Thanks so much, John. So Rick Outson does good reporting here on a letter that was written by, what is her name? Marsha Lindstrom, who I think, is she a former Board of Trustee member? I think that's correct. Anyway, she's a lifelong Republican, a Pensacolian, and she writes about Zach Smith's appointment to UWF Board of Trustees, and she says it jeopardizes the mission and the role the university plays in Northwest Florida, and lists a whole bunch of reasons why. And, for example, pushing to deny a sabbatical at PSC because he disagreed with the poverty research a faculty member was pursuing, pushing to the attack on former President Martha Saunders, who later resigned based on activities that happened long before the passage of a bill that currently has to do with the material they were culling. And I agree with that. Violated the privacy of UWF faculty going up for tenure because the research subject was not in line with his ideological views. Yeah, there was kind of a weird moment in the discussion about tenure for that person. I remember that. Goes to attack the drag show, the Christmas, through the Daily Signal, attacking First Amendment rights, which I agree with that criticism. Publishes an additional article in the Daily Signal attacking Pensacola and the drag show. Removes any sense of neutrality within the community. And this is, again, as a, you know, proposed member of the Board of Trustees, right? Taking a very strong view about highly divisive political topics. Attacks and gets rid of WSRE. Attacks Chief Escambia as chair, fails to adhere to the Board of Governors Rules 1.002, and mismanages the Presidential Search Committee, 84 applicants, which he pulled to one, Manny Diaz, instead of the three required by the rule of Board of Governors, and sort of on and on and on about issues related to Zach Smith. I agree with all of this. I don't think it's going to matter. I think they're probably going to approve him, but unfortunately, and he's going to sit on both of these boards where he has already done tremendous damage at UWF and is trying to do more at PSC. But, you know, people are trying. And one of my criticisms has been for all the liberals to be out attacking him or any other candidates is, you know, not going to get you much traction because DeSantis is just going to say, well, these are a bunch of liberals attacking. Find some conservatives, you know, like me or Marshall Lindstrom. So 628 News Radio 92.3. I don't know when Zach is going to appear before the committee, but it just wasn't this last week. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, good morning. The New York Archdiocese is setting aside hundreds of millions of dollars for sexual abuse victims. Cardinal Timothy Dolan released a statement on Monday saying the Archdiocese was setting up a $300 million fund that would compensate people who've sued the church over sexual abuse allegations. Dolan says the church plans to sell off assets and trim its budget to raise the money needed for that fund. Accused UnitedHealthcare CEO killer Luigi Mangione will be back in Manhattan court today. As the multi-day pretrial evidence suppression hearing continues, yesterday Mangione's defense lawyers say that police in Pennsylvania made up a story about a possible bomb as a reason to search his backpack without a warrant. Inside that backpack, prosecutors say they found notes, a journal, a knife, credit cards, passport, and, of course, the alleged gun used to kill CEO Brian Thompson.
They fabricated a pretext to search the backpack. Is that
That's what they're saying.
Is that alleged or is that acknowledged? Is that admitted that that's what they did?
That is what the defense lawyers say.
If that's true, oh, my God, you people, you have to follow the rules. That's the, you know, I would hate to imagine this guy goes free on a warrant search technicality like that. And it's not a technicality. I mean, that is how the Constitution works. So.
Absolutely. Ugh. People walk from crimes, you know, all the time off of technicalities. Also, on a bit of a lighter note, the Powerball jackpot has rolled over again, Andrew. Close to $1 billion now after no winner again last night. $930 million minimum on the line for Wednesday.
Okay, David, thanks for the update. Oh, by the way, Marshall Lundstrom was not a Board of Trustees member. She was a trustee of the Historic Pensacola Preservation Board. So just want to make sure I clarified that for you.
News. I'm Gianna Gelosi. President Trump is headed to Pennsylvania today to sell swing state voters on his plan for the economy ahead of the midterms.
President Trump is headed to Mount Airy Casino Resort in the northeastern part of the swing state. It's the first stop on the president's tour of the U.S. in the coming weeks that's expected to focus on his economic agenda in an effort to build support in advance of next year's midterms.
That's Fox's Tanya J. Powers. The president also giving farmers some $12 billion in aid to help as they struggle to sell their crops while being hit by rising costs.
This relief will provide much needed certainty to farmers as they get this year's harvest to market and look ahead to next year's crops. And it'll help them continue their efforts to lower food prices.
Agriculture Secretary Brooke Rollins saying farmers will get that money by the end of February. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 6:31 at News Radio 92.3. I'm David Wayne, and right now we've got 37 degrees with clear skies here in Pensacola. And we'll get to our forecast with meteorologist Brooke Richardson. That's on the way here in just a few minutes. The Escambia Board of Commissioners will consider expanding a Highway 4A safety project this week. Back in August, commissioners had approved a $1.8 million improvement project from Burnville to Century. This Thursday, they'll vote on extending that project nearly a mile further to State Line Road. That expansion would cost an additional $554,000 and bring the total cost of the project to around $2.5 million. The improvements include widening and overlaying the road, upgrading guardrails, and relocating mailboxes and traffic signs. Well, Gulf Shores will not be having a hangout festival for 2026. The city's skipping the coming year's Hangout Festival after Morgan Wallen's Sand in My Boots did sell all 40,000 tickets here this last year. The mayor said that organizers wanted to book different acts but couldn't reach a deal, so rather than settle for bringing back previous performers, the city decided to cancel and regroup. Mayor Robert Kraft says they have already approved a festival for 2027. They just want to bring the same type of talent and audience that made this past one such a success. Well, a big question in Congress right now: can the military operations and offshore drilling coexist in the Gulf? Now, Congressman Jimmy Patronis says that answer would be no.
The military mission is something that, you know, this is what I fight for every single day in D.C. to make sure those missions stay in place.
Patronis says NAS Pensacola, Eglin Air Force Base, and other training ranges throughout the Gulf depend on unobstructed operations. He says the drilling infrastructure in those same waters would create safety and operational conflicts. Patronis is one of several Florida lawmakers now actively opposing the offshore drilling proposal. Well, the community gathered last night to remember 14-year-old Danica Troy at a vigil that was held exactly 1 week after she was reported missing. Friends and family members described Troy as being bubbly, funny, full of life. Her mother said she knew something was wrong when she noticed Danica's electric scooter was gone. Hundreds of people gathered at Avalon Baptist Church to light candles and pray for justice in Danica's death. Church leaders reminded those in attendance that she was a lot more than just a news story. She was a daughter, a classmate, and a friend. The vigil ended with the prayer asking for truth and accountability. Well, a local law firm serving up some holiday spirits and community spirit as well today. Gross and Schuster hosting their annual free cookout that's going to start at 11 and go till 2 p.m. at the front steps of their office at Palafox and Cervantes. Managing partner Terrence Gross says they started this tradition about a decade ago with one goal in mind.
We do it just to get something back to the community, and we've also noticed by being on the fringe of downtown that, of course, we see a lot of the less fortunate people walking by day, and that can enjoy a hot meal during the holidays.
And he says they'll be serving up hamburgers, grilled chicken, and hot dogs to anybody who stops by. And again, that starts at 11, runs until about 2 o'clock today. It's 6:35 at News Radio 92.3. John's got our traffic on the fives.
That's right. No accidents to report to you right now. Looks like I-10, I-110 flowing smoothly. Seen some minor delays if you're at the intersection of Highway 29 and 9 Mile going northbound and southbound. But other than that, we look good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thank you very much, John. And it is 38 degrees. We've got cloudy skies. Let's get a check on our forecast with Brooke Richardson.
We are going to be looking at a very chilly start to your day with temperatures warming up into the 50s by the afternoon, mostly sunny skies. Tuesday night, temperatures dropping near 42. Going into Wednesday, mostly sunny skies, high near 66 degrees. Wednesday night, temperatures dropping near 45. Going into Thursday, we will have temperatures around 62 degrees for your high, mostly sunny skies. And by Thursday night, temperatures dropping near 48. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
Thank you very much, Brooke. Right now we've got 38 degrees and your next news at 7. Breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne, News Radio 92.3.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. Oil prices are slightly higher as Ukraine peace talks continue and the U.S. rate decision is in the spotlight. West Texas Intermediate currently sitting at $59.11 per barrel. Brent currently sitting at $62.72 per barrel. Treasury yields were a little changed this morning as investors anticipate jobs and employment data coming out later today. The 10-year Treasury yield was relatively flat at 4.178%. The 30-year Treasury yield slid by less than one basis point to 4.81%, as did the 2-year Treasury yield, 4.781% as well. Massachusetts' highest court has heard oral arguments in the state's lawsuit arguing that Meta designed features on Facebook and Instagram to make them addictive to young users. The lawsuit alleges that Meta did this to make a profit and that its actions affected hundreds of thousands of teenagers in Massachusetts. Futures are slightly higher. Monday, the Dow Industrials lost 215. That's your money now.
Today, I'm here with Amy Rencher, Senior Vice President of Small Business and Talent at the Michigan Economic Development Corporation.
The Michigan Economic Development Corporation, or the MEDC, as we like to call it, plays a critical role in really a networked statewide approach to supporting tech-based entrepreneurs and more traditional small businesses across the state of Michigan. This really is a networked approach. We see ourselves as a convener, connector, among partners to export resources, helping lift up best practice across the field, align with national standards, industry standards for best-in-class service to entrepreneurs for benchmarking purposes, for access to capital, for other growth-related milestones, hiring for the first time, hiring many people for the first time. All these things help make for a rich entrepreneurial ecosystem for which we're a key player in.
To hear more of this interview with Amy Rencher from MEDC, go to thismorningwithgordondeal.com and click on the MEDC microphone.
Join the Pensacola Expert Panel Thursday at 10:30 as Bess Marks from Lazy Boy joins the show. They'll be talking about upcoming events at all three Gulf Coast locations, Pensacola, Spanish Fort, and Mobile, and how to incorporate Lazy Boy's free in-home design service with recliners, sofas, accessories, and artwork to make your home look just like a picture out of a magazine.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions. 850-437-1620.
As she stared at me through the window, I realized the time we spent in the backyard on her trailer just wasn't fulfilling. We used to have so much fun on the water. I just couldn't crank her up. But Key Marine did. Fun days on the bay are back. And my Yamaha outboard runs better than ever.
Key Marine gets the work done and lets you handle the fun. Key Marine, your Yamaha outboard dealer on Bower Road in Pensacola. Google Key Marine or find them on Facebook.
Look, Daddy, teacher says every time a bell rings, an angel gets his wings.
it's time to give peace a chance. And today is a great day to get started. This is Chris Bryan, host of Pensacola Right Now, wishing you a happy Hanukkah, a Merry Christmas, and a Happy New Year.
Hi, this is Tasca King with ADX Digital and Radio Advertising Sales, wishing you and your family a very Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
News Radio 92.3.
Informative.
Make me want to go listen to some old Led Zeppelin. Get it, keep it up. Gets to the good part. I know Brad doesn't mind. He's waiting. It's gonna be too long. All right, but you go listen to it. It's a good song. John, thanks for that. All right, Brad Baker, he is Santa Rosa County Administrator, joins us every Tuesday after the Monday. Well, it could be the last Tuesday we do this, because if they move the meeting to Tuesdays, then we'll do it on Wednesdays. But, you know, woohoo. Brad, welcome back to the show, sir.
Hey, good morning, Andrew. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Great to have you. Let's just start with that real briefly. The proposal by now Chairman Colton Wright is to move the meetings from Mondays to Tuesdays for the agenda. What you guys call it, the committee meeting. I call it the agenda review. But that's where you preview what's going to be in the Thursday meeting, and you get questions asked and kind of give a little preview of what you're likely to vote on. The idea is this saves staff time. This makes it possible for you to prepare better for, you know, meetings that might be in other parts of the county, like at Tiger Point, and just avoid some of the problems that a Monday morning 8:30 go creates for staff on Sundays and stuff like that, right?
Yeah, that's what the commissioners were discussing. I think it gives them more opportunity to engage with the public. You know, if they have any questions over the weekend, it gives an extra day for them to prepare. So, you know, that's a thought. You know, we'll see. It seemed like there was traction on that, but we'll see how Thursday folds out.
Yeah, I don't – just if you care, because I watch all these meetings, you know, Pensacola does it that way. They do a Monday afternoon is their agenda review, and then they do a Thursday evening is their meeting. Escambia County does – half the time they don't even have an agenda review. When they do, it's because they're having a night meeting and they do it in that same morning. I think that's a crazy policy, doing it in the morning of the same day. But, you know, obviously different folks do it a little bit differently. And then Milton has like 14 meetings before they have a real meeting. So, I can't even track with their system, even though I watch all those meetings. Tuesday makes sense to me, especially since it's a morning one. That's kind of a weird one to start Monday morning off so quickly. The oil drilling opposition letter, this is just meant to align the county with what Rick Scott and Ashley Moody and Jimmy Patronis are trying to do to get Trump to stop oil drilling in the Eastern Gulf and the test range. Is that right?
That's correct. Just to show a support that, yes, we agree with them and keep fighting the fight for our area. You're not only to support the military, but, I mean, tourism is a big thing in this area. The panhandle relies on, you know, good quality water and sand out there. So, I believe the other counties have already done that as well. So we're just trying to show support and align with them.
Yeah, Escambia has – I thought maybe they had, but then Ashley Hoffberger told me that there's something coming on the agenda to maybe re-solidify it or reassert it or maybe change the language or something like that. So I think we're kind of like, yes, but also is how that's going to be this week. School speed zone cameras. I thought this had been voted on to be scheduled, but it is not on the Thursday agenda. What's going on?
Yeah, we have to do some additional traffic studies before we can bring that up to the public hearing. The way the statute read that we had done some, the sheriff had done some with the company that was bringing it just so they could see if it was feasible and it made sense and was worth tackling. And just anywhere we're going to do it, we have to do a traffic study so we can present that to the board in the public hearing. So we're underway doing that with our traffic engineer now.
So every
to be determined probably in January.
Okay. So every place you're going to put the red light or the speed zone cameras, you have to do a traffic study of that area to see if it's justified to have them there.
The count.
Huh.
Right.
Yeah, you can't just assume that 80% of the places they speed, so the other 20 they also do. You have to actually do it in each place. I guess that makes sense. Seems kind of cumbersome, but it makes sense.
It does, but it's another one of those imposed things on local governments by the state. So.
Right. At least in this case, the county is not paying for these, right? I assume that the company is going to provide these because that's what they're doing in Milton.
Yeah, we're doing we're tackling some of it in house with our traffic engineer.
Oh, okay.
So and we have the equipment and we do it on some of the other roadways now. So it'll be no additional cost because we already have the equipment.
Oh, okay. So those like the. I think of those little sheriff's trailers that sit on the side of the road that monitor speed or that your traffic department has for monitoring. That's what you're going to use, and that's going to collect the data for you?
There are some less visible means of doing that.
All right.
We catch the true numbers, and we utilize that on some of our roadways where your people are saying traffic's bad, and we want to get some information. We have a traffic calming committee. We want to present some to the sheriff in that and see if we can, get more enforcement in that area. Or do we need to reduce the speed limit and all? Well, we want to see true numbers. Obviously, you put a big flashing sign out there, it gets a little skewed. But if you put a smaller device that doesn't attract attention, then you get the true numbers.
All right, so Santa Rosa County has
some of the roads that we've seen.
Santa Rosa County has spy cameras. I like it. I mean, which makes sense because if you put a thing out that people see, maybe they slow down, maybe they speed up. They want to see what number they can get on the number. There's all kinds of reactions, but that makes sense to get the data that's unskewed by responses to the presence. So interesting. All right, we're talking to Brad Baker. He's Santa Rosa County Administrator. Brad, hang on for just a second. John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
That's right. Still rolling accident-free right now. I-10, I-110 are all flowing smoothly. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the five.
Thanks so much, John. Brad Baker, the Santa Rosa County Administrator. One of the things you all talked about is the OLF land swap. Which outlying landing field are you guys looking at acquiring?
That's there on Santa Rosa there on 87 near the industrial park.
Okay.
We've been in discussions for a while and kind of stepping it up to the next phase. And I've been meeting regularly with NAF and just seeing if we can work out something that makes sense for them. It really stemmed when the new helicopter platform came in, and they're just limited to where they can do their landings and all. So it stimulated a conversation that, might benefit us, might benefit them. So
So obviously, the deal with Escambia County, we acquired OLF-8, but in exchange, we had to build a field for them in Santa Rosa County is very expensive. Is this a situation where Santa Rosa would have to build something, or is this just acquiring the land because that parcel isn't as useful to them anymore?
There are some conversations going on, so we'll see what wadding field really they need to support their flight operations and continue to be a success in our county and the surrounding counties. It could be some enhancements. It could be some land. It could be a couple of different options that we're working through. So I'm a little early to kind of get into the weeds of that, but
okay.
We're just seeing, really, is it feasible for them and is it feasible for us?
Okay. So exploring it, because obviously acquiring land on 87 would be a great benefit to the county. What, more industrial park, maybe what, athletic fields? Because you guys are talking about some sports tourism stuff,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah, so it'd be a good location, the corridor to the south end. So if we were able to pull off something and could increase some sports capabilities in that area along with some obviously if you followed anything about our industrial parks, they're growing at a rapid pace. So, just looking for more options to bring good high-paying jobs in Santa Rosa County.
Yeah, I think at this point, if Shannon Ogletree started telling people not to build, I don't think he could stop it. At this point, it's almost like the momentum is so strong.
It's impressive.
Yeah, really, it's really kind of sick in a good way. One of the other things I wanted to ask you about, the Trust Republic Land gave a presentation, and, their basic idea is let's take land, let's transfer development rights, and let's put it into, conservation status forever instead of just buying land, which is very expensive, and then you have to maintain. The landing, I thought, from the commissioners was they're eager to conserve, but nobody wants to raise taxes to do it for very obvious political reasons. But maybe if they pledge to use some of the, local option sales tax renewal, into conservation land, that might be the sweetener that they think the public would bite on. Do I read the discussion roughly correctly?
I am so glad that you got that from the discussion, because that is exactly what it was about.
It was a little rambly, I got a little worried that they were talking about a millage increase until I realized that their goal is not to increase the millage. Their goal is to make it appealing to approve the renewal by saying we're going to do this good thing with the money, right?
That's exactly right. And I know I've seen some posts that kind of take it another direction, but that is correct. And I think our board has proven they're not eager to do any kind of millage increase. And, you know, $16 million a year that goes to roads, you know, infrastructure, the sheriff's office, fire trucks, and parks and rec is a key to keeping us a low millage. So we're trying to do something. The people have spoke. They want more conservation land. So we're trying to say, all right, well, what can we do? So the Trust for Public Land came in, did a feasibility study, and talked about the next step, which the next step is a public opinion survey. So they'll start that sometime in January and see just the, based on, you know, different scenarios, what is it the people of Santa Rosa County really want? And then we'll start crafting ballot language, because that renewal is up this November. And, you know, obviously we want people to support it. If they want us to continue to do things that they ask us to do, we have to have the money to do it. And, you know, so we're just trying to get a feel for what true the citizens of Santa Rosa County want on that ballot measure.
Absolutely. And it's a wonderful thing what you can pick up if you just are willing to learn and listen, pay attention to what people are saying, right? I did want to ask you.
And we want to hear from, you know, the whole body of Santa
right.
Rosa County,
right.
Not just the few people who show up at every meeting.
Oh, no, completely agreed. I know some of them purport to always speak for the people, but, you know, the funny thing is the people can speak for themselves, so let's go find out what they actually think. I would like to know, too. Last thing, I know you're familiar, there was an article written in the PNJ by Tom McLaughlin about the unwillingness of the board to bring back the question of approving the septic to sewer ordinance rewrite. All this would do would be to align Santa Rosa County with the state in order to make you eligible to get grant funding in order to pay for some of those conversions. You know, Kerry Smith and Colton Wright took it on the chin over this, what I thought was largely a misunderstanding of what was being proposed. According to the article, Bobby Burkett and Ray Eddington don't have any appetite to bring it back. I'm not sure if Rhett does, but the idea was that this would come back after some people had done a little bit more looking at it. You're the administrator. Is there any... Are they going to bring this back? Do you know?
I don't know that. I have not been tasked to bring it back. I know that, that's really pertaining to a specific grant that, you know, we did apply for and didn't get, and had multiple conversations about that with the leadership there at the state. But there are other grants, and we've been successful and we've had them. So, ultimately, I mean, no matter what we do, ultimately, the law is the law. It's on the books right now in the state of Florida.
Right.
And if the water purveyors so choose to utilize that, it's available right now. We were just saying, let's line our ordinance with the state law so that we do get a few more points and potentially can score higher enough to get more money to do that.
Yeah, lack of the county ordinance isn't going to keep them from applying the state law. And so it doesn't really cost anything to implement it. It does gain you the chance of qualifying for these grants. How much money are we talking about from this grant?
I believe that one was, wow, I can't remember. We got so many, like maybe like $6.5 million.
Okay, so substantial.
We have a roughly $22 million grant that we were successful with Gulf Breeze, I believe, Navarre. And maybe a little bit with PACE, getting through some of the restore dollars. So we're going to keep pursuing them. But, you know, I will tell you, we have not hired nor plan to hire a septic sewer police. So, I mean, we're not going around looking for connections.
Which I know is kind of the perception of that, the way it got, I thought, miscommunicated to people and what they interpreted as some big threat, and then showed up and, you know, sometimes the mass is right and sometimes the mass is not right. And I thought the mass was very much misguided on this one. Brad Baker, he is the Santa Rosa County Administrator. Brad, as always, thank you so much for the time. Thanks for clarifying things, doing the work. It's a difficult job. And we'll look forward to all the discussions this Thursday. Thank you so much, sir.
All right, Andrew, take care.
Bye-bye. You bet. 6:54 on News Radio 92.3. If you have a business, you have to deal with employee benefits, health insurance, dental, vision, life, disability, managing HR, doing payroll, the kind of stuff that you have to do a business, but not necessarily the stuff that you get up in the morning excited to do. In fact, sometimes you... like, why do I have to? You know, like, I wish I didn't have to, but you do. And, you know, it's good for your employees, obviously. And some of the stuff you just kind of have to do. Well, call Torgerson Consulting. They actually like doing the stuff that you don't like to do. So you call them. They've been working in this area for more than 2 decades, helping local businesses like yours do it well, save money, find better plans, all that. For us here at News Radio and Cat Country, we've been using them for almost 5 years now, and I'm a big fan. They give us better customer service than anybody did before. They're not miracle workers about what plans are out there. I mean, the market is what it is. It's terrible, but they'll find the best of the terrible, which is about as much as you can really ask for somebody, and they'll always answer your questions, which they do for us. Even though we ask hard questions, they always answer them. In a timely manner. 433-9996 for Torgerson Consulting. No obligation for them to look over what you're doing. Check them out online at tcbenefitsgroup.com. We got John Pickens, traffic on the fives.
That's right. Still rolling accident-free right now. I-10 eastbound right after the Pine Forest exit. We're seeing just some minor delays in that area. But other than that, we look good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Shop Waterfront Thrift Stores for all your seasonal needs. Whether you're looking to decorate your home for the holidays or searching for great gift ideas, we've got bargains that'll fit your budget. Plus, your purchases help make meaningful change in our community. Waterfront Thrift, where department store taste meets thrift prices. Visit one of our 7 Waterfront Thrift locations today or shop at waterfrontonline.org. This holiday season, give the gift of thrift.
Tune into the Pensacola Expert Panel today at 10 when guests from Pensacola State College will be on the show to talk about everything from spring registration to graduation and so much more. And did you know that 92% of Pensacola State College students graduate loan-free? Learn more today at 10 on the Pensacola Expert Panel with Pensacola State College.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions. 850-437-1620.
If a Lenovo computer for your business is on your holiday list, don't shop around. Just go directly to the source, Lenovo.com. It's your last chance to get exclusive deals on the PCs you want for your business, like the ThinkPad X9 14 Aura Edition and Yoga 7i 2-in-1. So avoid all that shopping chaos and price comparing, and just go directly to the source, Lenovo.com, where PCs are up to 35% off. That's Lenovo.com.
Lenovo, Lenovo.
You know what you want to do in retirement, but do you know how to get there? Tune in to What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair of Swan Capital, Saturdays at 1 to get answers to your retirement planning questions. Plan today so you can do all the things you've dreamt about doing in retirement. Don't miss What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair, Saturdays at 1. Firm offers insurance services, advisory services offered through Swan Capital, LLC.
Stream us online at newsradio923.com or download the News Radio Pensacola app.
My father taught me many things here. He taught me in this room. He taught me, keep your friends close, but your enemies closer.
I saw somebody, a friend of mine, has shared a kind of a mean comment about Indiana University. It says, let's see, Indiana was the worst team in college football for 150 years. And then they let teams start paying players, and they immediately became number one. And the only conclusion to draw is that they were the only ones who didn't realize you could pay players under the table for the first 150 years. No, I think their new coach has been amazing and has had tremendous success. And God, the stats on them being, you know, winning the outright championship first time since the 40s and since 1945 and the first Big Ten championship at all since 1967. I mean, it's crazy. Crazy with the turnaround that's happened for that team. Because they were always the terrible team in the Big Ten.
Yeah.
Indiana was terrible for years and years. You know, great at basketball, terrible at football forever. 6:59, David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Good morning, gentlemen. Former Trump lawyer Alina Haba has resigned as the acting U.S. attorney for the District of New Jersey. That decision, she said, came after a court ruled that she was serving in the position illegally. In a statement, Haba said that she's now decided to resign to protect the stability and integrity of the office. And accused CEO killer Luigi Mangione's pretrial hearing will continue today as his defense lawyers try to get evidence tossed.
All right, David, thanks so much for the update. John, remind me that I have a really fun conversation about how we should reform football.
Oh, boy.
You're going to like it.
Okay.
I don't want to ruin
Listen on air at 92.3.